Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Oh, we got there, Alan.
We did. I said we'd have to plug it in.
We physically went and plugged in these cords and we've got it all going. What a fabulous week it has been of radio. 50 plus hours of incredible content coming live to you from the 2014 AIDS conference. It's been an absolute pleasure to be a part of it and listening to the myriad of stories that have come out through the week.
It is. It's been really, you know, really inspiring. That sort of level of sharing of knowledge and experience is just really quite humbling, isn't it?
And for you too, Alan, I mean, you're coming from a science background, but you also appreciate a lot of the social sciences and humanities, and seeing all that merge, you know, in a week of information sharing and knowledge sharing. How's that been for you?
Oh, it's just been fantastic. I've really enjoyed listening to it.
Well, it's been wonderful to be a part of it, but unfortunately it has come to a close for this year. And yes, you are on Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9. My name is Oz.
And I'm Alan.
And it's going to be an awesome show today.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of going a bit visual on the radio.
We are. We're going to have to rely on a lot of adjectives.
So, if your smartphone or camera is filled with blurry, overexposed photos of your dog or cat who may not even be there because they won't stay still, we are here to help because this week we have Kerry Martin from Akemi Photography who will help you out with your pet photo disasters.
Yes, now we've seen many of these disasters up on our Facebook page. Do check it out, facebook.com/lostdogshome. There are a few, I'd say, red eyes in those photos. I have that problem of the beaming eyes from my pets.
I just tend to get blurry ones because they don't stay still.
And that's a common experience. So we want to hear from you as well.
So if you have any pressing photography questions, send them through now.
Pets Aloud, have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
Now, also coming up on Pets Aloud today, it's important for the whole family to be consistent when training your pets and setting boundaries. We've got the scoop with Nicole Beasley from Planet Canine.
And my new, well, recently adopted pup, Hector, went to his first training session this week on Sunday with Emmanuel and I. So we'll talk a bit about that.
And Cam, actually, from Chris and Cam, CNC, might be dropping in to tell us about his experience as well.
And it's time to check in and see what Sprocket has been up to in our latest Sprocket Pup Date. And we have all your favourite segments, including Pet of the Week.
Stick around. It's another big, big show of Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Mike Larkin, and you're listening to Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
This winter, the Lost Dogs Home expects to care for 6,625 lost, neglected and unwanted cats and dogs. The home relies on generously donated blankets and towels to provide them with a comfortable, cosy bed and to protect them from the cold. Much needed donations can be dropped off to the Lost Dogs Home, North Melbourne Shelter, 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne, or the Cranbourne Shelter, 920 Thompson's Road, Cranbourne West. For more info, call 9329 2755.
The Pets Aloud News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
Yes, it's that time of the program where we check out the news headlines at the Lost Dogs Home. Starting at the top is our finishing school graduate.
That's right. This week we had a look at Peppy. He's 9 years old, and so he's a bit of a senior citizen. And he's at a stage of life where, you know, he's kind of should be in a normal familiar routine, but unfortunately he found himself homeless. And it's really tough for older dogs when they suddenly find themselves without the people that have been part of their lives for so long. So he appears to have had very little training, and he arrived at the home pretty timid and confused, as little older dogs often do. He was enrolled in the Lost Dogs Home and Planet Canine Finishing School program just to build up his confidence and teach him some basic manners. And now he has a new lease of life. He can sit, drop, and go to his mat. He's enjoying plenty of leisurely walks and has made a few new canine friends. And we're hoping to find this sweet little guy a home in which he will be loved and adored for the rest of his days. You can watch Peppy's video on our Facebook page or website at dogshome.com.
Peppy is just one of the many success stories of the finishing school program. It is such a spectacular program that not only Lost Dogs Home staff are involved in, but also volunteers. Yeah. I know one guy who actually just he drops in during his lunch break to help out. So it's about an hour of your time on twice a week. To find out more, you can check out dogshome.com, our volunteer section, and call our volunteer coordinator if you too like to get involved. Yeah. Our second news item is the opening of the Cat Cafe in Melbourne. If you're a cat enthusiast, you know about this cafe. It landed on our news page a couple of months ago now, and we've been talking about it since because we're all really excited with the concept of, you know, hanging out with cats, having a coffee and a catch up with friends in the company of some felines. So the actual bookings are opening next, well, they're open right now. So if you jump onto catcafemelbourne.com, they are taking bookings from the 30th of July. And so all you need to do is jump on there and book it in and enjoy your feline company whilst you have a coffee. We've got one very fine staffy as our pet of the week this week. Alan, tell us all about Tiger.
So Tiger is a black brindle and white staffy. He's about 5.5, 6 years old. We've featured him before. He's been with us for a little bit of time. I think we've had him in adoptions for about 2 months. And through no fault of his own, he's finding it a little bit difficult to find a home. He's been having some training. So like most staffies, he's really enthusiastic and likes people a lot. Mm. He's perhaps not quite as confident or happy around other dogs, but he's been working on that. And he's had some socialization and controlled interaction. And so he's looking for a new home. He's great with families, great with kids. And he's at North Melbourne.
Do come and meet him this weekend and make sure you note his ID number, 970167. He is at our North Melbourne shelter, 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne.
And you can check him out on dogshome.com.
Do so. Very excited because up next we're going to be chatting with pet photographer Kerry from Akimi Photography all about her craft in taking photos of pets, but also she's going to be giving you some handy tips, so do stay tuned.
We are now joined by someone who has for many the definition of a dream job, where she gets to spend the day capturing stunning photos of cats and dogs and, of course, their owners as well.
We are very pleased to be joined by Kerry Martin from Akimi Photography. Welcome to Pets Aloud.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, Kerry, can you give us a sense of what a typical day as a pet photographer is like for you?
Wow. There's actually no such thing as a typical day. We're working with animals, so every day can be a little bit mixed and varied, and it all depends on the animal that we're photographing. Each has very independent natures often, and so we're going off what they want to do and their nature in determining how we're going to photograph them.
And do you tend to go to their homes, or do they come to your studio, or is it a mixture of both, depending on?
So there's two options. You come into the studio, or often we'll go out to location if it has meaning. Not so often inside people's homes, but more out in a park or a place that has special meaning. They might take their dog there every day for a walk, or their dog loves the beach or loves the snow, and that's where we go with them.
Now, I remember my family portrait being taken at a shopping centre back in 1993. I remember I was wearing something really typical to the 90s, but it was a really stuffy photo, you know, with that really horrible, do you remember that grey background, you know, and everyone looked uncomfortable. But family photos are very different these days, and they involve pets as well.
They do. I've found that pets are the best accessory. You can't help but be yourself if your dog's giving you a big lick on the face, or, you know, you want to snuggle them, and they actually help people relax beautifully in photos, and they're the most candid results that you get.
And so many people are hanging these photos up in their lounge rooms of not only themselves with their pets, but their pets on their own.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Hey, one particular subject you love photographing is your own pet, I believe.
So I do.
Who do you have?
I've got a Japanese Spitz named Kiko. He's very much my muse, and he is how it all started. So it was through taking photos of him and all of his adorable antics that I then sort of wanted to do that more and more, and people started finding me to ask me to do that for them as well.
Mm. And through that, I mean, you're in touch with so many pet owners and so many different types of pets. What have you learnt about humans and animals and that bond?
pet people are the best kind of people.
Yes.
That might be that, that I relate to them really well, but they're also, they have a lovely nature. You know, if you can look after your pet beautifully, it sort of says something about the kind of person that you are. Mm. So I often find that I relate really well to people that love their animals. I have the same feelings for my pets, and so they're wonderful.
Mm. And you mentioned something about a frog while we're going to air, and I kind of missed it, but I just heard frog. Don't tell me you actually photographed someone's pet frog.
I did. It was a first. It was Tuesday this week. And it was a dog named Zach, an older golden retriever. The cat's name was Froggy. And then we had two froggies, Lime and Bertie. So we had three frogs in the studio, and that was definitely fun.
Gosh.
And so, you know, how do you work with a frog? How do you get the personality of a frog?
It was a little bit of trial and error. Mm. This is the first time I'd photographed a frog. Fortunately, they all got along really well, so we were able to have some fun with where we put the frogs, but mindful of the fact that we had to look after them. There was always water and their tank nearby. Mm. We also had to watch the cat because the cat liked to play with them, not with evil intent, okay, just yeah. because they hop. So it was all done under very close supervision, but it was great fun. And there's quite a few funny outtakes where the frogs are just springing in every direction because they don't know command sit, stay and drop like our dog.
No, I was going to say, I don't think you can train a frog, can you? Really?
Well, never say never. I don't know. There might
sure
be a frog
trainer.
I'm sure
there is someone out there, Alan. Yeah.
Kevin would have something to say about that, wouldn't he? Because yeah, he keeps
totally
frogs.
Totally would. Kevin is our anchor of the program, and he is well into training his dogs. But, he's developed interest with training in general. So we'll have to direct that question to him. But talking about trying to manage your subjects, this is one of the key questions that we've received when we put the call out to our listeners and Facebook users. Kerry, are you happy to stick around just to wave your magical photography wand and work out solutions to bad pet photos?
Certainly am.
Excellent. Well, look, do stick around. We will be chatting more with Kerry.
Hi, Daryl Summers here. This is Pets Allowed, Joy's very own pet-friendly zone.
Thank you, Daryl. And joining Alan and I in the studio today is pet photographer Kerry. And she does have a magical wand out now to cast over some of the bad pet photos we've received from our listeners. And look, you know, I contributed as well. So don't feel alone. We're not picking on you. We're just offering helpful advice.
So earlier in the week, we did put out the call to listeners and our Facebook users to send in pet photos of theirs that have gone slightly wrong. Mm-hmm. So, and we got a whole selection, didn't we?
Well, up the top, I think, was the red eye and beaming eye photos that a lot of people had. Now, what would result in that? What are we doing wrong?
So that green glowing eye that you see in pets is the same as red eye in humans, and that's the light source being reflected back and the camera's picking that up. Mm. So that in most circumstances is a flash that's sitting on top of your camera, and that's just bouncing straight back from the pet's eye. To avoid that, you might want to change your light source. So instead of using on-camera flash, move to a window that's got a lot of light, or even head outdoors because the natural light, you won't get that. You could also use something different to a flash, like maybe a lamp or overhead lights, and then don't use the flash and you won't get that reflection captured back in your photo.
So if you're taking a photo in the evening and you can't use natural light source, use a lamp, as you said.
You might, okay, or you can also, depending on your camera, you might be able to adjust the settings so that you don't need to use the flash.
Because that's really true, isn't it, now with digital photography? You need a flash so much less often, don't you, really?
Yeah, the current cameras have such good capabilities, and so you can get away with not using the flash. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to have a bit of a steadier hand because the shutter will open for longer, but it's certainly worth trying, and you'll figure out the limitations of your camera and the light situation if you just play around and experiment.
And for me, it might just be a personal preference, but I think flash makes photos look colder. In a way, if it's used in the wrong way, like natural light adds so much more depth to a photo.
It does. So a flash is going to fill every space with the same flat light, particularly if it's mounted on your camera. So there's no depth, there's nothing there. Whereas if you're using natural light, you'll get drop off as you move away from that light source that helps to bring the subject well into focus.
Well, thank you to Oz, well, myself, for contributing Jaffa's terrible photo. And I've got to say, the background on that is horrific that I've utilised there. But also Sarah Chadwick, who's from Joy herself. Vanessa, sorry, pronunciation's a bit off here, but Malinquenet, for sitting through her darling Molly's photograph, who doesn't actually have naturally green eyes. It's just the flash there. So hopefully that advice has been helpful for you. Now, the next one, my dog or cat is more interested in sniffing the camera rather than posing for the camera.
So quite often when we get down to take photos at eye level with our dogs, they get very curious as to what we're doing down there, and they think it's time to play. And that's, so they're coming up because that's their natural response. Usually when you're down, it's playtime. So this might be the occasion to get somebody else involved. So you could have somebody else that's getting your dog to stay while you're taking the photos, or alternatively, have somebody else take a photo while you're actually playing with your dog. The connection that you have together is going to be a magical photo as well.
That sounds good. Or like a squeaky toy or something behind the camera, would you say?
Well, that will probably encourage them to come to you more. So you more want them to have a reason not to come up to you. So that might be another person. That might be using toys to get them to stay a little bit of distance. But their natural inclination is going to be to approach you. It can also come down to simply training your dog. If they know sit, stay and drop, then you're going to have a far better chance of even creating a second in which you can take the photo before they approach you.
So that's another, we'll be talking about training and the advantages of training later in the program. So there you are.
And the next one's kind of related, is which is help my dog or cat won't sit still. I can kind of believe that.
Yeah, and that results in blurry photos.
Yeah.
So how do we combat that?
Lots of animals. I mean, part of the reason we love them is they're joyful and they're playful and they're out and about doing things, but it can make it difficult to take those photos. One trick is to wait for the times where they're naturally less active. So I know for my dog, after dinner, all he wants to do is rest on the couch or else curl up on the bed. And so that for me is a really good time to capture him, because he's not going to be moving quite quickly when he wakes up. The other alternative is to use a shutter speed that's faster and then capture what they're doing mid-movement, but it'll freeze it so that you haven't got the blurry photo, you've just got the action of what's happening.
Terrific. I mean, there are a couple of things that we can certainly do very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And just lastly, I love this one. Martha, our manager in the comms department, sent me a photograph of her cat Lily, who's, it's hard to tell where the cat starts and finishes, because she's got her propped up on a rug that is the same colour as her actual body.
Yeah.
Her question is, how do we make sure that there's better contrast in photos?
So you've got options if you're going to go into taking a photo with a bit of pre-thought. So you could then move the cat or introduce something that's a different colour as the background. So you might put out a different bedspread or a blanket for the cat to sit on, which is a different colour from the cat or the dog. And the other alternative is, once you've taken your photo, to use an app that you can get, or free online editing, to boost the contrast and boost the colours, and that will give you some higher contrast in your photo to help your pet stand out.
Kerry, we could keep talking for a long time. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the program and addressing those really key questions there. And I think, you've provided some very useful tips for our listeners and our Facebook contributors. Will you drop in again to the studio?
If I'm invited, I certainly will.
Fantastic.
And if anyone uses those tips, they're welcome to share the photos so we can check them out.
Actually, that's a great idea. We do have the thread up on our Facebook page. We might create another one, actually. So come back to us with your better, new and improved cat and dog photos.
Definitely.
Kerry, also, you're going to be taking some on-site photos at the Snowfields coming up. If listeners are interested in finding out more, how can they get in touch with you?
So my website is probably the best place. So that's www.akimiphotography.com.au. And I also have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Akimi Photography.
And that's spelled A-K-E-M-I. A-K-E-M-I.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for joining us on Pets Aloud.
Thank you.
Get social. See joy.org.au/petsaloud to follow us and chat all week long.
Yes, we love it when you stay in touch. Don't forget about us during the week. And if you've got any questions for Alan, vet-related or training-related, Shoot us up.
Let us know. All through the last two seasons of Pets Allowed, we have talked about the benefits of training to create a happy, harmonious household for your pets. But just how important is it for everyone in the house to be involved?
Now, earlier this week, Kev caught up with Nicole Beasley of Planet Canine, fundraising team leader Sharon, and Pets Allowed regular Kate to find out more.
As a mother of two children under 10, two dogs, three cats and two guinea pigs, Sharon is quite experienced with creating a harmonious household and happy household with kids and animals. Sharon, tell us, how have you done it?
A lot of it's about consistency and about understanding, making sure everybody understands from the parents' wants for the behaviours of both the animals and the children. The children understanding that they need to follow through and what's okay. For instance, our dogs are allowed on the sofas at home, but only if there's a blanket there. Too much white hair on dark sofas isn't good. And the children know that, and they understand that they're not to have the dogs up there unless they're on the blanket. We don't have dogs on the beds as a general rule, but my son is allowed to take one of the dogs goes to bed with my son, and that's fine, that's been agreed. We've given him the okay to do that. The children have always been brought up to have a lot of respect for the animals, from when they could crawl, they were toddling, etc. I spent a lot of time making sure they understood, especially with the cats who don't like being pestered by children, that they need to have respect for them. I think they both probably got a little scratch up the arm on, you know, one or two occasions, which helped reinforce it, but I don't want it to get to that level. I think if you've got stressed animals in the house, training them is very, very difficult, and nobody's going to be happy.
Why do you think it's important to have every member of the household involved in not just the training of the animal, but also the care as well?
Part of understanding animals is caring for them anyway. You need to understand how their needs are met, what makes them happy, and quite what it entails. And for everyone to be looking out for them, they need to be aware of what's happening. One of my dogs is on daily medication now, and my children know that that's part of what we do, and they'll help get the dog because he's blind also, so he normally has to be collected from a corner somewhere, and one of the kids will go and find him, bring him over, because they know it's important to make sure he gets his medicine. And it's about the care and compassion for the animals and looking after their welfare. And for me, it's part of how I want to bring my children up anyway, to ensure that they do care and understand for everyone, for the humans and for the animals.
As the mother of two teenage boys, Kate, you would know a bit about setting boundaries, not just for the boys, but also for the pets as well, and how they interact with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important to be consistent in the home with your boundaries and your rules, for both, mainly for the dogs, because they can easily get confused because I have my set of rules and I don't want the boys to do something different, like hopping up on the bed, for example. And I also try to communicate to the boys to make sure that they respect the dogs and the cat too, so that they don't necessarily tease them, but, you know, they might not kind of read their signals. I think it's also about teaching the boys to read the pet signals when they're uncomfortable, when they're happy, when they're a little bit nervous. So and I try and teach them that. But most of the time they love them just as much as I do, so they're pretty good.
I'm joined by Nicole Beasley of Planet Canine now. Nicole, we've talked about the importance of having a well-trained, well-mannered dog before on the program. Why do you think it's important for the whole family to be involved in that training?
Okay, it's great for the whole family to be able to enjoy living with the dog, and for the dog to be able to understand what the whole family is asking, you know, expecting of that dog. So we get lots of different situations. We get whole families that come along and perhaps they might be a bit inconsistent with the dog, or it might be an extreme case, you know, where mum doesn't want the dog in the house at all. Dad sneaks it in when mum's not watching, and the kids have got the dog, you know, in the bed under the doona. So that dog's getting all types of mixed signals and not really understanding why some people are displeased with him for doing things that, you know, he's been otherwise rewarded for. Sometimes I get couples in, and, you know, they might not be able to agree on something as simple as if the dog's allowed on the couch. So one person's letting the dog jump on the couch, the other person is being the bad guy, and no one likes to be the bad guy. It's always, you know, telling the dog to get off the couch. So I think the way to make it work is to make sure that everyone's on the same page, and that might mean compromising a bit too. So, you know, in the situation with the couch, you might decide, okay, a compromise is that the dog needs to sit before he's allowed on the couch, or the dog's allowed on a particular couch or on the couch when there's a blanket. As long as everyone agrees, then everyone can be happy, including the dog.
Some very sage advice there from three women that know all about caring for animals, but also being on the same page with the rest of your family, which is something that we're going to be talking about shortly with Alan. And Chris will be dropping into the studio as well, and Chris from CNC Factory, to tell us all about training your puppy.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Joy.org.au for the world.
I know, I feel a bit nervous having Chris in the studio from CNC Factory. Welcome to Pets Aloud.
Thanks, Oz.
It's a pleasure to have you in. And we have you here to talk about pets, not music. One common thing that you've been experiencing that Alan too has as well is going to puppy school for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about Rosie's first experience.
Rosie. So we've been going to Planet K9. And the big thing is that the great thing about Planet K9 is everyone gets to do a one-on-one first up. And I know that one of the first things that the trainer said about Rosie was, because we'd got her as a 12-month-old dog, and she seemed to be very, very nervous of strangers, all strangers, and quite, she said, okay, so when she settles down, the puppy's going to come out of her. And we're going, oh, you know, she's been okay for the first 2 weeks. She's quite calm and well-behaved. 6 weeks in, 7 weeks in, the puppy has come out in her. And she's a 50-odd kilo puppy. So it's getting quite raucous around our house. So so I have to say, number one, instincts spot on for the trainer.
Nicole is the dog whisperer. She just gets them.
That always happens, though, or quite often happens. People adopt dogs and you see them 2 days later and they're this dog is amazing. It's so well-behaved. It's so quiet. It does everything we want. It doesn't bark. And then you say, just you wait, and they come back in 3 weeks and it's a completely different
and
story.
And for some dogs, it might be a coping mechanism as well. You know, you don't know what they've been through prior to coming to your home, and they might be just laying low, you know.
And sometimes it works the other way. Like Hector, our puppy, who we've had probably about 3 months now, when he was in the shelter, he's a real clown, and he looked like a really, really confident dog. And we took him home, and he was great with us at home, good with the other dogs, but he... within like a week, 10 days, he became really fearful of other people. And to the extent that, you know, I took him into work and he would just refuse to go in and he'd run away from people and whatever. So I took him into work quite a lot, and he's over it now, which is great. But completely unexpected, didn't expect it, you know, when I saw him at work. But he's learning now. He had his first class, his solo class on Sunday, which was really interesting. Emmanuel and I took him together, and it was just... it's really interesting seeing these little, you know, behaviours that they have. How I didn't realise that if I asked him to do something and he was confused or didn't want to do it, he'd look at Emmanuel and go and see what he wanted him to do, and vice versa. You know?
I think that's such an important point, because they do play off partners. So how important, guys, is it to be on the same page when it comes to training?
Well, it's totally important. And we've learned this from going to training as well. Cam has actually been taking Rosie to training regularly in the last few weeks. And then he comes home and he tells me, okay, so now we're using the word heel when we want her to walk beside us on the lead properly, so that we both know to use that word. So it's using the right commands. We're both had to be, we're also trying to crate trainer at home at the moment. And so we've had to both be disciplined about the fact that the word is crate when we wanted to get in the crate. And it is working. Mm. I mean, being consistent, we are actually seeing it at work. So she knows what that means now. And
there's no place for Rosie to hide.
No. And I think the great thing, the other thing that the trainer has taught us is that, you know, the whole thing about not repeating and repeating and repeating a command, they understand. And you actually have to wait for them to then obey the command. And they don't get their reward. They don't get any attention until such time as they actually end up deciding, okay, I will do as I was told and that I understood.
And the other thing that's really interesting is a good trainer sees you doing things that you don't know that you're doing and picks up things about your dog. Like, we had real problems getting Hector to stay. And once we changed the command to wait, he got much better. And it was obviously someone had told him just to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stay away.
But not reinforced it. And so he got confused and got frustrated by being told to stay. But when you changed it to wait, he's happy to wait. And I would never have figured that out myself.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, look, guys, let's check in again. I want to see how Rosie's going in a few weeks' time and how Cam's going and how you're going with it all too, because it's not only about training the dog. As I've heard from you, it's about training yourselves as well.
Well, she had two positive classes and then one negative class. She's taken a step back, but we'll get back to that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining us on Pets Aloud.
My pleasure.
Now, we're going to hear from another wonderful adopted dog from the Lost Dogs Home, Sprocket, who has also been attending some training as well.
Sprocket, come here, boy. Good boy.
A big happy birthday to Sprocket. Well, we're guessing it's his birthday. Being Australian all, we're not exactly sure when his birthday is, so we've made a guesstimate for his first. Sprocket is still very much a puppy, full of energy and curiosity and his infamous cheeky streak. At the moment, obedience training is all about getting him to the point where we can take him off lead. Because he's still quite young, he doesn't always pay attention or stay focused, so the challenge is to keep him engaged and happy during training. Eventually, we want to get to the point that he will listen to commands by voice, stay focused at a distance, and trust him off lead, particularly with other dogs around. The lesson I've taken out of our recent training is that it can be way too easy to get frustrated and forget the most important part. Have fun! He's learned some basic commands and tricks, but as we get more complex, it can be quite mentally taxing for the both of us. Our obedience club makes a particular effort to teach us about enjoying training with our dogs and making sure your dog considers training to be a fun and positive experience. With quite a hectic schedule in other parts of our lives, work and social life, it's been hard to find regular training time, so our upcoming priority is to get back into a routine of daily training so Sprocket can continue learning and maturing so we can strengthen our connection together. He's in the early stages of learning some more flashy tricks like jumping through hoops, so I can't wait to show off what he's learned.
Oh, yes, that was our fourth instalment from the Sprocket Pup Updates. And it's so nice. It feels like we're all growing up with Sprocket there. And Sprocket's birthday, we believe, was yesterday.
Happy birthday, Sprocket.
Happy birthday. And I believe your fathers have a big birthday weekend in store for you. So enjoy.
Sprocket birthday party.
Coming up next, we've got Dog Date.
The AIDS 2014 Yarra Social Hub is proudly supported by Mackenzie Ross Insurance and Mazoff Investments. Joy sponsor.
This is Dog Date, your pet's community calendar.
What's happening this weekend?
Well, July is National Desexing Month. We have mentioned this before, and this is the last week. Until the 1st of August, the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic is participating in National Desexing Month by offering discounted desexing to pensioners, healthcare and concession card holders. Bookings are essential and can be made by calling the Frank Samways Vet Clinic in North Melbourne on 9329 2755. Limited surgeries are available, so please mention National Desexing Month when you book the appointment.
Save a Dog Scheme is having a fundraiser on Saturday, July 27 at the Australian Shark and Ray Centre in Dandenong. It's a Shark Tales Day with a percentage of all funds going to save a dog scheme. So this sounds really interesting. There's going to be a barbecue there as well, and it's kid friendly. So do check that out. I don't have the contact there, but do Google Australian Shark and Ray Centre in Dandenong or Shark Tales to find out more information.
And the Governing Council of the Cat Fancy of Victoria is holding their Winter Follies Cat Show this weekend. That's Saturday, the 27th of July. John Frost Stadium, which is corner of Bayswater and Eastfield Road in Croydon, and is open to the public from 10 a.m.
Well, that brings us to the end of the program. Thank you so much to Kerry. It's been an absolute pleasure being on the air with you.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.